Hello, everyone. This is Tom Uren. I'm here with the Gruck. G'day, Gruck. How are you?
G'day, Tom.
Welcome to another episode of Between Two Nerds. And today's episode is brought to you by Airlock Digital. I have an interview with Airlock's CTO and CEO, Daniel Schell and David Cottingham, out on the channel this week. Be sure to catch that. So a couple of weeks ago, Gruck, Google released their 2023 review of O-Day in the Wild, or Zero Day in the Wild. And it's got a number of stats and figures and...
a lot of numbers.
...in there. So at the very top level, Google's been tracking the number of O-Days it's found for several years now. And so that used to be just the threat analysis group that would do that. This year, they're presenting this report in combination with Mandiant, the incident response company that they bought. And so just under 100 zero days over 2023, which is more than 2022 by quite a lot, 50% more. And they've got a number of both pie and column charts.
Which is probably the best way of presenting complex numerical information, a pie chart.
The column charts, yes. Yeah, the pie charts are a terrible way. So in fact, if you use the R statistics package and you look for pie charts, it'll basically say pie charts are a terrible way of presenting data. Don't ever use pie charts. And there's actual scientific research about it. Anyway, getting off my hobby horse. First of all, are these reports useful? Do you think they actually tell us something about the state of the world?
I think they, unlike normal, I'm going to make a little bit of a tangent on this one. So the old way of talking about photos was that, you know, like you capture a moment in time. And then a slightly better way of phrasing that would be that you capture a perspective of a moment in time. And I think that this falls sort of into that, like it's a perspective of a moment in time, right? So it's useful, but it's worth remembering, you know, like there's things out of frame.
Yep.
Right? You know, it depends on which way the camera is actually pointing.
So one of the charts that we beforehand spent a bit of time discussing is a goddamn pie chart, but it has, I think it's a good illustration of what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So pie chart obviously adds up to 100%. And this one has 41.4% is carved off for commercial surveillance vendors. So Google in the last couple of years has created this category of what it calls CSVs, commercial surveillance vendors. Groups like NSO Group, Candero, the Intellexer Alliance, who sell spyware-type products, mostly to governments and law enforcement.
To states. So I was just going to say, I think one of the things missing from this pie chart, on the espionage side, they break it out by country. Yep. Whereas on the commercial espionage side, they don't. And I think that that would have been useful.
Yeah. So in the pie chart, 41.4%, the exact same number they've attributed to states. So this, to step back, is the subset of zero days which it can assign a motivation to. So there's 41.4 commercial surveillance vendors, 41.4 espionage, and 17.2% financially motivated, which I'm sort of equating with cybercrime. Uh-huh. And then the 41.4 of espionage, they break that further into China, North Korea, Russia, unknown. The largest chunk of that is China. Russia and North Korea have small slices, as does Belarus. And then there's a unknown section, which I took to mean either they really don't know or they attributed to the Five Eyes and don't want to say.
Yeah, it could be any Western nation. There's no way of knowing, so... technically unknown.
Yeah.
Right. So there are interesting things in this. One of them actually is that with the Belarus segment, half of it is partitioned off as exploited by both China and Belarus.
My interpretation of that is it's one or two zero days, and I can't tell because it's a bloody pie chart, that are used by... happen to be used coincidentally by both Belarus and China.
Exactly. And so like that's my assumption. But yep. What I think is interesting is that there's only one Right. Like this is the only one that is a duplicate.
Right.
That's
right.
Shared by the two. That's what I find interesting, that there's no duplicates between the commercial and the espionage, or the financial, the commercial and the espionage. So I can understand why the financially motivated doesn't have overlap, because the targets that they go after are very different.
Yep. Right?
Like they're looking at enterprise software or security software and stuff like things that are useful for getting into companies, not necessarily getting into specific targeted individuals or whatever. So I can see that that would be different, but I'm a little bit surprised that there's no overlap elsewhere.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's an interesting data point about whether vulnerabilities get discovered twice. And I guess it goes to the argument of whether you can safely use them without risking someone else discovering them. But anyway, we're not talking about that today. I guess your position is that large section of the pie chart set aside for commercial surveillance spenders should really get set aside for states or attributed to states.
Right. States who are using commercial surveillance vendors to conduct their espionage.
Right.
Because that's what's happening. And I think they could have it in the same sort of clustering and just break it out like they did with espionage on the other end, and they would still maintain whatever political pressure they're trying to put on with that. Like I don't think they'd lose anything by giving us more granularity. But this sort of big blob, I mean, it could mean anything really. And out of the total number that they're talking about, right, is, 58? So this pie chart represents 58. I think one of the things that this captures is probably collection bias.
Yeah.
So they say that the largest number of ODAs against Google browsers and Google mobile phone operating systems, so against Chrome and against Android, were from commercial surveillance vendors. I kind of feel that might be a collection bias right there, that they're going to notice a lot more of those than they are, say, against Firefox or other sources, other target. Yeah. So I think that they obscure the fact that these commercial surveillance vendors are state actors. They are proxies for state actors, but they are fundamentally state actors.
Right.
Like these are not non-state actors sort of just going around hacking for hacking, right? Like
right. I guess what the sort of theoretical function they're doing is that these states are exchanging money for skill. And so they're basically buying their way into that capability.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a fundamentally state thing.
Right. In a way, they're doing themselves a disservice. They're renting capability from someone else rather than developing their own indigenous capability, which will allow them to produce their own ODAs. Which is a lot harder and a lot longer. So, I mean, if I was looking at this from a policy point of view, I would be very eager to make sure that states who do bad things that I don't like are hooked on software that I sell to them.
Right. So it's short-term thinking from these states, you reckon?
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, wasn't your Twitter account formerly the pinned tweet was teach a man to fish?
That's give a man an O-day and he'll have access for a day. Teach a man to fish and he'll have access for life.
Right. Yeah, so teach a state to build their own spyware and they'll have access for life is...
Yeah. Well, once that day comes when exploits cease to be a thing, which I wouldn't hold my breath, but when that happens, there will still be users using stuff and users will still be people and people will still get tricked by other people. So I think that sort of no matter what happens, espionage people are going to be able to espionage.
Right. Now, this is a good example of how Google is applying its own lens to the problem. So it's constructed or decided that the category of commercial surveillance vendors makes sense. And what's interesting is in some of the other documents I've looked at, not necessarily Google documents. So one of the other documents I've looked at is related to something called the Paul Mall process, which was a intergovernmental basically discussion about what to do about spyware. And they're much more nuanced about commercial surveillance vendors. And they say that there's some that are used for abusive purposes. And when they are, they're a problem. Now, Google, for reasons that make sense for a company, just say that all commercial surveillance vendors are bad. They kind of allied or don't really talk about vendors that sell to, say, responsible governments.
Right.
There are a number of those around, and they just don't get a mention in Google's reports. And so this is getting to your point of Google's got a perspective on what the problem is. And I think also, as we mentioned, there's that chunk of unknown, which is, are there any Western governments in there? I would guess probably.
Unknown.
Right. And that's another case of their perspective coming through. And like I'm not criticizing that. I'm just stating that as a, that's a thing.
Look, it's the same thing of like whenever you do historical research and you're reading, you know, original primary documents, you have to be aware of the biases that are in those documents. It doesn't mean that they're useless, yep. Right? You don't go like, oh, you know, well, it's written by the French, you know, during the Napoleonic era. So it's obviously not going to be a true representation. It's just, you know, that that's the lens that they're using. And so you can use that to better understand what's going to be in there. Just briefly, I sent you a link to a tweet. The idea that complex social problems are amenable to cheap technical solutions is the siren song of a software salesman and has lured many a gullible government department onto the rocks.
Right.
And that's from Ross Anderson, rest in peace. And I think that this is sort of what's happening. It's that the complex problem that we're talking about is that there are governments who do things we do not like, right? And I fundamentally agree with that. There are states who are not good states, right? They don't believe in liberal democracy. They don't believe in human rights. They are pursuing things that we fundamentally disagree with. And some of them use software to do that.
Right.
And the idea that in some way we can do something about that software, and that's going to translate into
solving the problem of the state.
What's
amazing about that quote is it applies at so many levels here. So the states using the software are falling into that fallacy.
Right. Like,
and also the companies and states trying to stop the use of that software. I actually think they're falling into it less because it's not like we've got software that will solve this problem. I mean, the whole point of some of the intergovernmental processes, and it's like politics. It's applying pressure and trying to get people to change their way.
Yeah. Well, it's changing incentives.
Yeah.
Trying to adjust incentives.
So for Google, commercial surveillance vendors as a category is kind of something that makes sense because it wants to...
It's a little bit rich, don't you think? I mean, Google coming out and taking a firm stance against surveillance.
So, I think what you're saying is funny, but I don't know that it's... Oh, I don't think it's true, right? I don't think of what Google does as the same thing as surveillance.
Right. I mean, they... unlike these other people, you know, they read all your email. It's very different, you know.
And, like I've got a strong... reaction to that I think that they're different. Now, having said that, when I worked in an intelligence agency, I do remember saying to someone that if you were to rebuild an old school intelligence agency for the new world, you'd create something like Google. And I don't know that I'm wrong, but I think that the difference is that
it's intent, I think.
Yeah, well, they're a machine for data, but it's a machine that is, it's not about you as a target of surveillance. It's about e-commerce and the economy.
Yeah, well, it's like if NSA X key score was AdSense. Right? Like every time someone searched for something, it would use those selectors to see which ads to serve as opposed to, you know, where to bucket them in surveillance. it's different, but is it categorically different?
Yeah, so I think actually, I mean, I've got a strong reaction that it's different, but there is that book, Surveillance Capitalism, by Shoshana Zuboff. And I mean, part of my problem here is, like, full disclosure, I started reading it and it was just really hard going. And I kind of fundamentally disagreed But at the same time, Google does collect a lot of data and it does make money off it.
Right. So what you're saying is that ASD should open up...
an ad network.
They should move into advertising-supported espionage.
I mean, from a government perspective, it's both revenue positive...
Our counter-terrorism operations brought in over $2.8 billion this year. Which
is and ironically, I think the problem for an intelligence agency doing that, a Western intelligence agency doing that, is actually about the ethics of it.
they have more ethics than Google.
what I mean by that is that you would have a whole lot of people that you're hoovering up into your system that are not legitimate targets. And so, you know, what do you do about
for,
that?
Maybe for ads or for...
Well, I guess that's the
looking to buy 15 tons of fertilizer in a panel van.
I mean, like, so you can see why I thought it was a good idea back in those days. I'm just sounding less and less convincing as I go on, aren't I?
You're talking yourself out of it so well. Yeah, so, look, I understand that there's a difference between machine learning to do automated AdSense sales versus someone... personally reading every email and trying to develop a pattern of life, map out who you know and figure out what you're doing next. There's a qualitative difference between those things. But I don't know that it's black and white.
Right.
I think that the barrier sort of crossed from the does not read your email to reads your email. And then after that, it's just a matter of degree and purpose, I think.
Right, okay. I mean... Gmail used to serve ads based on the content of your email, right? So
now they just use it to train AI.
Well, you know, that's progress.
So I'm not suggesting that what Google does is comparable to like Saudi Arabia surveilling journalists and then murdering them, for example, right? Like I'm not saying that there's an equivalence.
But to be clear, you're saying there's a spectrum and that perhaps... they're at opposite ends of the spectrum, but they're on the same spectrum.
Correct. I think that's how I'd put it, absolutely. Like they're financially motivated surveillance. They're not a commercial vendor because no one can buy them.
Right, yes.
You know, same with Meta, right? You can't buy their data or buy their capability. You can have them do something for you with their capability. So like the whole surveillance thing just reminds me, there's this Soviet era joke which goes, under capitalism, man exploits man, but under communism, it's just the opposite.
Yeah, well, I mean, I kind of agree, because in this case, the surveillance vendors are the state repressing people, whereas like Google's just about making sure people can buy good products. It's the exact opposite, man.
Yeah, so I think the sort of takeaway from this is that people reading it should keep in mind it's a perspective of the O'Day usage. It's not the complete picture, particularly when they said that they found 98 or 97 O'Day, 58 of them they could attribute to motivations, and then 17% of those are unknown.
Financially motivated was 17%. The unknown is actually probably, I'm guessing, because it's
based
a pie
on
chart.
Your visual estimation, right?
And this, you know, there's proven research that people are terrible at measuring angles on pie charts. Maybe 10%? Or is it 14%?
Yeah, it's some amount. So, yeah, I think there's valuable information, absolutely. I'm not sure what sort of real takeaways we can take from it, because the things that interest us are not necessarily the same things that are covered in the report, right? So like some things I find interesting, like apparently now that software is harder to hack, there's fewer people hacking that hard to hack software, which I guess that's a good thing. It's working.
Yeah, well, I mean, the purpose of the report is to ultimately make 0-day hard, I guess. It's like that's the purpose of the threat analysis group. That's their stated purpose. And so that's the perspective that they're looking at in this report, whereas we're looking at it from the perspective of what does this report tell us about the state of the world and state competition or conflict when it comes to the cyber domain.
We want to have a look at the scorecard and the state of play.
Yeah.
And this is sort of telling us about the state of the ball.
Right. Yeah. So this is Tom and Gruck's perspective on Google's perspective on what's happening with 0-days. Thanks a lot, Gruck.
Thanks a lot, Tom.